Today we're going to look at a man who was being watched, Daniel. And if you turn to Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was dedicated to serving God, and he served God faithfully and openly throughout his whole life. And towards the end of his life, Daniel ended up in the lion's den. And there are many lessons that we can learn from Daniel and the lion's den. And we find the story in chapter 6 of Daniel. Perhaps one of the most familiar Bible stories, the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Probably one of the most dramatic incidents in the Bible, as you think about this very well-known story. And this account of Daniel and the lion's den, it can be a great strengthener for our faith. And it can be also a great challenge for us to stand firm in the time of testing and trial. And there's also a marvellous demonstration of the power of God who is able to deliver. This account of Daniel and the den of lions, you can see the picture of the protection that God will give to his faithful people. And it reminds us of the end of time when the judgments come. God will choose the faithful. And those who didn't believe God, they go to something worse than a den of lions. I found a quote from a child which I think gives us a good summary of the whole story of Daniel in the lion's den. And this child said, when asked about what they thought they learned from Daniel in the lion's den, she said, "I think it teaches me that God is going to fix up all of my problems, even the ones that I think will eat me up." So our first point this morning is the danger that threatened. The danger that threatened. And we see here in the beginning of chapter 6, the first two verses there, it says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts to them, and the king should have no damage." Now, at this stage, Daniel would have been getting on in years. It's estimated he would have been between 80 and 90 years old at this event in chapter 6. And we know Daniel. We know he was known for his faith in his God. And we can see that in verse 3. "Then this Daniel was preferred above the princes, the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Daniel was in a very important position in the kingdom of King Darius. He was the chief of all those princes and presidents. And as a consequence, he had enemies. He had people who did not like him. And we see that in verses 4 and 5. "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" You know, it was good for Daniel to be this very important person in the kingdom. He was over all these princes and presidents. He was the chief, perhaps the chief president or prime minister or something like that. But remember what it says in 2 Timothy 3:12. "And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And Daniel suffered a lot of persecution in his life, and here, no different. And these who plotted against him realised the only way they could find fault with Daniel was to find it against him concerning the law of his God. They knew that Daniel was faithful to what his God commanded, and they were determined to bring about his downfall, to drag him down. You know, in some measure, it's true of every Christian. everyone who follows God, who is determined to be faithful to the Lord. It is impossible to be 100% loyal to God and to escape some kind of persecution because of our faith. Peter, in 1 Peter 4, said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." 1 Peter 4, 11, 12 to 14. And so it's a good thing to face persecution when it's for our Lord. And so we see this plot that is placed by these men who wanted to bring down the faithful Daniel. They could not find fault in what he did in his work. They couldn't find fault in what he did in the kingdom. The only place they could attack him on, and they knew they might have success, is to do with his faith in God. And we see the plan there in verses 6 to 9. "Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counsellors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." And this was what their plan was. You know, Daniel, had he been weak in his faith, he would have given up his worship of God, given up those prayers he offered daily, and dodged going to the den of lions. There's something interesting here, there in verse 7. Have you ever noticed that this decree only applied for 30 days? For 30 days, no one was to pray to anyone but the king. Not to God, not to any god, only to the king. Just for 30 days. So for the next 30 days, just 1 month. So Daniel could have quite easily have not prayed to God for just 30 days. Just skip praying for 30 days. It's only a month. And after those 30 days, he'd go back to his normal routine of his regular prayer time to God. Skip the issue. Be easy. No lion's den. Daniel could have dodged the bullet quite easily, just by simply lying low for 30 days. He could have even perhaps snuck into his closet and prayed, and no one would have known. He could have dodged the issue. He could have avoided the persecution. Everyone would have been happy. Everything would have been smooth and good. You know, it brought a challenge to my heart. How often do we dodge the bullet or dodge the lion's den? When we're confronted with a situation that requires us to make a stand for our faith, do we dodge? Do we duck? Or do we do what Daniel did and just continually openly worship God, honour him, pray to him openly, do what you need to do to bring glory and honour to God, even when you know people are watching? What if you're at dinner with other people? Normally you pray before you eat. But tonight you're eating with people who aren't Christians and they're not interested in the things of God. What would you do? Would you pray or would you dodge the bullet? Would you dodge the lion's den? Would you think and hide your faith? Daniel could have done that. He could have skipped it. He could have dodged. But he didn't. And it's a poor habit we often fall into. Dodging the lion's den. Ducking. You know, we're in a country where we're free to express our religious beliefs, but often we're cowards. We often hide our faith. We make up excuses. We don't want to offend anything. We don't want to ripple the waters. And really, if we're honest, we're just cowards. We read the Bible when no one's looking. We pray when no one is looking. We only talk about our beliefs around other church folk. People are watching, we think. And I'm afraid of what might happen if people notice my faith. I think way too often we choose to avoid the lion's den. Is it because we can't trust God to keep us through the trial? Is it because we can't face persecution? We can't lose face with those in the world? We don't want to make them think that we're some sort of pious person. You know how good it is to have a God who forgives us. Our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same God that Daniel prayed to. You know, he is willing to forgive. He is our God, and he proved his love to us when he sent his only Son to come and to be killed on a cross and paying the price for our sins. And then he rose from the dead, proving that he was and is our God and our Saviour, and that our sins can be forgiven. Christ paid the price. Christ didn't dodge the cross. He faced it for you and for me. And now God offers to give us the strength to be more like Daniel, to face the foe, and to stand and live your Christian faith openly, just like Daniel did. But Daniel, he didn't dodge the lion's den. He didn't dodge the bullet. He remained loyal and faithful to God. And we can see this clearly in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Here is Daniel carrying on exactly as if there was no decree and if no one was watching him. He just did what he always did. Prayed on his knees in his window 3 times a day. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He knew that this was a royal decree. He knew that if he went to his house and knelt in that window and prayed, he knew he'd be breaking the law of the kingdom. You know, this is a much higher level than not saying grace at the table to save our face. This is a greater level than skipping church to do something else. This is against the law of the land. Daniel, by doing what he did, he became a criminal. He was under observation. He was being watched. We see that in verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They knew they would find Daniel praying. Those men, they knew that Daniel wouldn't change. They knew that he was a servant of God. And often we buckle under a lot less than what Daniel faced. We have that roaring lion that Peter spoke of in 1 Peter 5:8. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Often we can be at our wit's end, if you like. People working against us, being persecuted for righteousness' sake, faced by those lions. And we can become fretful and struggle and complain. But this brings us to our second point, the faith that's sustained. The faith that sustained. You know, God actually allowed Daniel to be put into that den of lions, just as he allowed previously, early in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego to be put in that fiery furnace, just as he allowed Paul and Silas to be cast into prison, just as he allowed Fanny Crosby, the famous hymn writer, to spend 90 years of her 95 years of life in blindness. Just as God allows many of his children to suffer persecution today and imprisonment today. And perhaps in the same way he has allowed you to be cast into the prison of ill health or sorrow or loss or some other trial. But it's how did Daniel react to his trial? You know, it's interesting to consider as you read the passage, there's no record of what Daniel said. There's no record of how Daniel felt. There's no record that Daniel pleaded his case to the king. There's no record that Daniel asked God to spare him and deliver him from this trial. Instead, we see the king stressed out. The one who accidentally entrapped Daniel with his own law, with his own writing. He was the one who flipped out when he found out what had happened. See this in verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he laboured until the going down of the sun to deliver him. The king suddenly realised that in signing that decree, he'd trapped Daniel. And suddenly, the king saw what he'd been tricked into doing. And he was sore displeased with himself. And he must have called all his advisers and his lawyers. How can I override this rule? How can we get out of it? Can I give Daniel a royal pardon? Is there a way I can save Daniel? And he must have went through a lot of mental stress that day. He laboured until the going down of the sun. He did his best. He was trying to change it. He was trying to save Daniel. But the answer in verse 15 for the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute with the king established may be changed. Nothing could be changed. The law of the Medes and Persians, that unchangeable law, once it was written, it was written. And it's interesting to note verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. This declaration the king made to Daniel is interesting. Thy God, said the king, whom thou, Daniel, servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now Daniel, as we know, showed his face throughout his whole life, right from the very beginning to the end. Daniel had a testimony that everybody knew. Everybody knew who Daniel believed in. The king said, there, you serve your God continually. The king knew that Daniel was faithful to his God. And the king knew that Daniel trusted his God to deliver him from this den of lions. He will deliver thee, declared the king. Your God will deliver you, said the king to Daniel. And there's an irony here in this situation we have. Daniel about to be put into the den of lions. The king there saying to him, Daniel, your God will deliver you. Really, it should have been Daniel saying to the king, don't worry, O king, my God whom I serve, he will deliver me. Instead, here is this unbelieving, ungodly king saying to Daniel, your God whom you've served continually, he will deliver you. You know, this is the same king who agreed that everyone should pray to him and not to God. And yet this same king is making this profound statement that should have come from the lips of a faithful believer. Your God will deliver you. You know, I think the king was trying to encourage Daniel. You'll be okay, Daniel. Your God surely will deliver you. Everything's going to be okay. Look at verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? The king came to that lion's den the next day, and he cried with that lamentable or pained voice. And I don't think the king was really expecting Daniel to answer. Didn't the king say to Daniel in verse 15 that Daniel's God would deliver him? And yet he asked the question in verse 20, is thy God, whom thou servest continually. Did he deliver you, Daniel? Did he do it? Was he able to deliver you, Daniel? Daniel, you have served him continually. You give him much of your time. You speak of him so often. Did he deliver you, O Daniel? I find a challenge here. The king didn't really believe that Daniel would be still alive that morning with those lions. We can see in verse 18, then the king went to his palace after Daniel had been put into the den and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He had a sleepless night. He didn't eat. His normal music didn't calm him. He couldn't rest. He couldn't sleep. Back in verse 15, he made that bold statement. Daniel, your God will deliver you. And he went home, but he had no faith that God would deliver Daniel. He couldn't rest. He made the bold statement with his mouth, but in his heart he didn't believe. And when he came in the morning, he asked it as a question. Did your God deliver thee, Daniel? And I think the challenge for us is often we make bold statements of faith. God will deliver me, we say. I trust in God's divine plan for what's ahead. He knows. My life's in his hands. And yet we cannot rest in what we say. We stress. We cannot rest. We cannot sleep. We're like the king. We say bold things with our mouth, but our hearts and our minds are not confident in our God. And yet, Daniel, nothing is recorded about how he acted in this event. Nothing said about whether he was stressed or... But I believe that Daniel put his whole trust in God for this new situation he found himself. His faith in God, in the living God, it brought him peace in the midst of a terrifying situation. And I believe that Isaiah 26:3 portrays what Daniel was. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Daniel would have trusted God. When the king came rushing to check on the lion's den that morning, as he cried out in that lamentable voice, did he wake up, Daniel? Was Daniel enjoying a good night's sleep there in that den of lions that night? You know, the Bible doesn't give us any details of what Daniel did in the lion's den that night, but I do think that Daniel was having more rest in the den of lions than the king Darius was in his luxurious palace that night. The king couldn't sleep, he couldn't rest, but Daniel was able to rest in the fact that his God would deliver him. You know, if we end up in a lion's den, a situation, we need to remember the lions can't harm us unless God allows them to. And if he does allow them to harm us, then somehow it will be for the best. We remember that well-known verse in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, not just some things, all events, everything, work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. What God wants most in our lives, in the way he wants to see, is that we trust him, just as Daniel did. The king asked, is he able? Is God able to deliver? Of course God is able to deliver. But God's purpose is the most important thing. And often we don't understand God's purpose in events in our life. And I'm sure Daniel didn't quite understand the purpose that God had in putting him in this situation of entering the den of lions. It could have well been God's purpose for Daniel to die in the lion's den. And if that was the case, it would have been the greatest thing. For there's nothing greater than for God to accomplish his purpose, his will, in the life of his children. And That brings us to our third point, the power that delivered. And verse 21, Daniel answers the king from the lion's den, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt." We see God's power at work in delivering Daniel here in the lion's den. While Daniel was there in the lion's den, God's angel was there with him, and the lion's mouths were shut, and they couldn't touch Daniel. God's power at work. And it reminds me of Psalm 91, verse 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." And Hebrews 1, verse 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Can God still send his angel of deliverance to deliver us like he did for Daniel there in that lion's den? Of course he can. Of course God can deliver. He can deliver us. Isaiah 63:9, "In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old." God can deliver. God has the power to deliver, just as he did for Daniel. And it's a great thing to experience the delivering power of our God. He has delivered us from sin. Hebrews 7:24, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them." God only has the power to deliver us from sin. God is the only one who can forgive our sins. He has that right, because he gave his only begotten Son to die in our place, to take that punishment, to pay that price we never could meet. God, and only God, has the right and the power to deliver us from our sins. God can also deliver us from our fear. Psalm 34:4, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." God has power to deliver us from our fears. Daniel didn't fear what those men would do to him if he took a stand and continued to pray for those 30 days. Often we have fear and what might happen and what could happen and what if. But God can deliver us from fear. God can hear us and deliver us from all our fears. We just need to trust him. That simple faith. So simple, but sometimes very hard. And we can be God's delivering power. He can deliver us from doubt. Matthew 14:31, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" It's probably one of the biggest tools the devil uses against us to pull us down, is that little seed of doubt. "Yea, hath God said." "Yea, will God deliver you?" God doesn't really care about you. Those little seeds of doubt can destroy our faith. But God can deliver us from doubt. God can strengthen our faith and destroy the doubt. I'm sure Daniel could have had a thought of doubt as he stood at that mouth of the den of lions about to be thrown in. "Will God deliver me?" Could have crossed his mind. You know, the delivering power of God, he can deliver us from anxiety. Philippians 4:6-7, "Be careful for nothing." We don't need to worry about anything when God is there. We can talk to God in prayer and he will give us that peace of God which passes all understanding. We can talk to God in prayer. We can tell him our requests. We can approach him and we don't need to worry. We should have that peace of God which passes all understanding. God can deliver us from our anxieties. And it's a great thing to experience that delivering power of God. And 2 Timothy 4:18 covers almost everything. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God delivers completely. He can deliver us from every evil work, and he will preserve us for his heavenly kingdom. So if we're in a horrible den, threatened by any kind of lion, the same power that we see here in our passage that delivered Daniel, the power of God, he will also deliver us. He will deliver you. We just have to put our trust in his delivering power and trust him, and he will give you peace in your den of lions. You know, Psalm 50:15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." God promises to deliver us, but it has to be by faith. Psalm 91:2, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." We need to trust God. We need to trust my God, your God. You know, not everyone can honestly say these things about God, that he is my refuge and my fortress. We need to know that he is my God, our God. And we need to have that strong faith in God's abilities and God's power. And only those who trust God with the whole heart can say these things from the heart, that God is our refuge and our strength. Only those in close fellowship with God can say these things from the heart. God has to be your God in whom you trust. The king spoke the right words as he put Daniel in the lion's den, but in his heart he failed to believe. God wasn't his God at that point. He did not trust in God. Finally, we notice the testimony that thrilled. Verse 25. "Then the king Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." We see a different king here. We see a thrilled king. We see a king whose faith is changed. The king's faith in the living God was cemented after this event with the den of lions. He declared here that God was the living God. He declared that God was steadfast forever, and that God's kingdom shall never be destroyed, but God will have dominion forever. The king acknowledged the fact that the God can deliver and that God can rescue, that God worketh signs in heaven and in earth. And it was this living God that hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. You can see the king was bubbling with enthusiasm, joy, and sheer delight in the fact that God did deliver. Now the king could say it, and say it from his heart, and know it in his mind, "Thy God, he will deliver thee." And we should have that same joy as the king. The joy of knowing that God will deliver us, and he has delivered us. He delivered us from sin. Why can't he deliver us from other things as well? The peace of knowing that God is in control, and he knows what's best. You know, everything that happened to Daniel was part of God's purpose and plan. And I'm sure when Daniel came out of the lion's den and he saw what the king did here in verses 25 to 27, he would have echoed Paul in Philippians 1:12. "But I would ye understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." And that's what happened to Daniel. How thrilled and humbled Daniel must have been when, because of his faithfulness and trust in God, the king was led to give this great testimony not just to the royal household and the kingdom, but to the whole world. You see there in the verse 25, he wrote to all people, all nations, all languages that dwell in all the earth. The whole world heard how God could deliver. The whole earth, every people, nation, language heard the king's testimony. God can deliver. God's name was uplifted and glorified to everybody. All because Daniel didn't dodge the bullet. He didn't dodge the lion's den. Daniel's faith that God would deliver him and could deliver him caused God's name to be glorified, honored, uplifted across the whole world. What a blessing for Daniel. Can we see how we can miss the blessing by having weak faith and dodging and skipping going to the lion's den? We miss the blessings. Daniel, if he skipped the lions, then this wouldn't have happened. The king wouldn't have made that declaration to the whole world. We need to remember in our lives, as we serve, if we serve God openly, not only are the people watching us, God is watching us too. You know, often things in life don't go smoothly from our perspective. And we may find ourselves in a lion's den. But, you know, and sometimes we can ask ourselves, why is this happening to me when I've loved God all my life? You know, perhaps Daniel wondered the same thing. You know, we need to remember that our lives should show Christ to others, just as Daniel did. And we should remember that it's important to be prepared to stand for our faith like Daniel did. Look at Daniel. After it was all over, everybody in the whole world knew about the deliverance, the delivering power of God. And the whole world heard about the living and only true God. And perhaps through us, as we live openly in our faith, someone else might learn about the true God who can deliver and do many amazing things. People are watching. And what they see in us will either make them want to know more about God and give God the glory. Or if they see no faith, they'll just turn away. Another thought I had as I considered Daniel in the lion's den. There's some similarities here between him and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them were falsely accused. Both were sentenced to death. Except Jesus, unlike Daniel, died at the hand of the executioner. And unlike Daniel, Jesus was God and he rose from the dead. And his death can wash away all our sins if we simply confess our sins and believe that he can forgive us of our sins. And we need to just simply trust and receive and believe in his saving grace and we'll be saved. You know, both Daniel and the Lord Jesus Christ emerged from the den or the cave alive. And as a result of both, God was glorified, God was lifted up. Is God being glorified in your life? Do you believe that God is able to deliver you from any den of lions that you might face? And I think you can sum up the story of Daniel in the lion's den with a couple of verses. First Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. And 2 Timothy 4:18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. We need to dare to be a Daniel. We need to dare to stand alone. We need to dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known. And God will deliver us. God will preserve us. He's promised that. And God will get the glory and the honour forever and ever. Amen.